don't imagine that Amos was a particularly popular figure. In his lifetime, his country, the nation of Israel, was divided into two parts, two political entities, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. Picture a blue kingdom and a red kingdom, a nation divided. Amos was from the southern kingdom. He was a shepherd, not a preacher. But there was a fire burning in his gut that was a word of displeasure from God about what the nation had become. I quote here from the introduction in my study Bible to the book of Amos. When Amos arrived in Israel, the rich were getting richer, the poor were getting poorer. The two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, increased in prosperity. But the greater prosperity merely increased the power of those who already had it. Those who had no power were even more oppressed. In response to this situation, Amos traveled from Tekoa in the south to Bethel in the north, where he called Israel to account for its apostasy and inhumanity. End of quote. When this shepherd, this stranger in their midst, arrived with a message from God, it was a dark word of warning about God's displeasure. Amos said, "You look forward to the day when the Lord comes to judge, but you are in for trouble. It won't be a time of sunshine. All will be darkness. The day when the Lord judges will be dark, very dark, without a ray of light." That is not a message that is especially attractive to hear. But the people had gotten used to their way of life and did not see themselves clearly. They did not see the depths of the problems that had over time developed in their nation. I wonder what Amos would say to us today. Depending on how you analyze where we are in the election process, it's essentially over for this cycle. But in a very real sense, not much has changed. Our nation is still the same as it was day before yesterday. The leadership may have changed. The party in the White House may have changed. But we are still the people we were before that happened. We are still two nations, and maybe even more fractured than that. We are still a country with profoundly different ways of viewing the world. There is still unbridled animosity, despair, injustice, not to mention a virus that continues to have its way. So I want to ask you a question. What is the dream that you dream for the future of our country? What picture do you imagine of the kind of country we should be? And to help you think about that, I have several more questions. What is good that you hope we will build on? What is wrong that you hope we will right? What are the hurts that you hope can be healed? What are the qualities you would like to see lifted up? What are the barriers you would like to see torn down? What picture do you have for our future? I think it was the Cheshire Cat in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland who said, "If you don't know where you are going, any road will get you there." I want to suggest that today, this week, is a critical moment when we would do well to have a picture, a clear and specific picture of where we want to go. This is a juncture, a moment to take some time and maybe even with paper and pen and write your dreams for our nation. if we don't do this, any road will do. And we might default to doing what we have always done, the way we have always done it, which is actually the road that got us where we are today. Two kingdoms with very little interest in knowing one another, let alone working together. That will not magically disappear any more than the coronavirus will, or racial injustice, or income disparity, or food insecurity, or broken healthcare, or climate change. To help us imagine our hopes and dreams, and to help us imagine where we want to go, there's some images from today's scripture that might be, in fact, quite useful. An excellent starting point is verse 5 of Psalm 70. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. When I hear these words, I'm not thinking about poverty in the sense of economic hardship. I'm thinking that we are poor and needy in the sense that compared to the magnitude of the issues that need solving, our capacity seems so meager. Compared to the work it will take to bring about healing and genuine improvement for more than just a few people, our resources are small. We cannot solve the problems we have without God. People of faith everywhere need to admit our poverty before God and cry out for God's assistance. Beginning from that place of humility, recognizing our need for God is an important first step. The next image for us to fix firmly in our hearts and minds is verse 24 from Amos. It's a verse that was made familiar by Martin Luther King Jr. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. What kind of water do you imagine when you hear this verse? Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We talked about this in the study group that Chuck Stewart convenes on Tuesday mornings, reflecting on the scriptures for the coming Sunday. And in this little verse, we notice that there's actually two different images of water. The first represents justice. In God's kingdom, justice is like flood water, spreading everywhere, a powerful force running over and soaking into every bit of land so that nothing is left unchanged. And there's a second image of water, righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. Now, a stream is smaller than a flood, more contained. It doesn't come to you like floodwaters do. When you are thirsty, you have to go to the stream. Righteousness is, it's a churchy word. It means having a relationship with everything and everyone that is in perfect balance and harmony, allowing for each to flourish with the greatest possible extent. Imagine that. Imagine a world in balance and harmony with each person, each community, and even the environment flourishing. There would be no room or no need even for selfishness or greed, for hatred or jealousy. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Those are images to sustain us for a lifetime. And then there's one more that's found in the gospel. It's a troubling one in its own way, the parable that Jesus uses to describe the kingdom of heaven and God's kingdom here on earth. There's 10 bridesmaids headed for a wedding celebration, but there's a delay, and they have to wait. We actually know what waiting is like. They wait so long that they get drowsy and fall asleep. And when they're startled by the arrival of the bridegroom, five don't have enough oil to go on. I would guess that many of us had it drilled into us as children that we're supposed to share what we have with others. Our toys, our food, our turn on the swings, our place in line. So we might be confused or even troubled when we hear a parable describing the kingdom, and Jesus himself points to people who refuse to share, and he calls them wise. What they do seems very selfish. But remember, this is a parable. It's a metaphor. The things and the people in the story represent some aspect of God's kingdom. I want to suggest to you, and this is not my idea, this was also shared in the study group on Tuesday, that the olive oil is not something material, like food or water or fuel. It would be selfish not to share those things with someone in need. But what if the oil for the lamps represents something that, in fact, cannot be shared from one person to the next? What if the olive oil represents some kind of work that each person must do for themselves? I'm going to give you a really easy example. Physical fitness. Now, my husband Kip is one of those people who exercises all the time. He lifts weights. He does yoga. He rides his bike. He walks several days a week, in fact. But no matter how much he might like, he cannot share his muscle strength or his cardio health with me. That's work I have to do for myself. There are many areas of life, in fact, where there is work that each of us has to do for ourselves. No one can do it for us, and they cannot share. Work that is essential to our well-being, work that is essential to our readiness to participate in the building of God's kingdom here and now. And I'm going to mention just two: mindfulness and resilience. Notice in this parable there was a point when the door was closed. I look at that as a metaphor for missed opportunity. I wonder how many kingdom opportunities I miss because I'm distracted or in a hurry or running a little low on fuel. There are mindfulness practices that prepare us to see and take advantage of kingdom opportunities. Mindfulness practices that keep the door, if you will, propped open. Mindfulness practices are things like taking time first thing in the morning to pray and read scripture, just to listen before jumping into the day. Or taking time to go for a walk and just look and listen. Mindfulness practices make us alert to what is happening around us and keep us open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They create margin in our day to make room for chance encounters. An extra supply of mindfulness is a resource we will need for the road ahead. Another one is resilience. Many of us are worn down and weary from waiting, not just for this election to be over, but because of the pandemic. I've noticed that I am not as resilient as I'd like to be. More often than usual, I'm sad or irritable or have a hard time staying focused. Some of that can't be helped. But again, there are practices that contribute to resiliency, that increase our stores of hope and faith and patience and generosity, gratitude and love. Practices like prayer and reading scripture. There's a lot here to think about. For now, I want to close with my original question to you. What is the dream that you dream for the future of our country? To get there, the tasks are daunting. The road may be long. We cannot travel it alone. We will have to depend on the Holy Spirit. And in order to stay the course, there is work that each of us needs to do, work that we have to do for ourselves, to be prepared, to be mindful, to be resilient. Ask God to show you what your work is. Ask God to give you eyes to see it. And ask God to give you the imagination and the courage to take action.